Hey, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. Our guest today is Brett Hobel. He is a fitness trainer who I met this winter. Super happy to have him on the show. So first of all, hi, Brett.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's fun. So you're in New York City right now, but where do you live?
I live actually between Santa Monica most of the time, and then I kept my apartment and I visit to New York City when I can.
Oh, okay. Right on. Yeah, tell us what you're doing in New York right now. You've got some cool stuff happening and some cool events going on.
Yeah, it's great to be back in the Big Apple, especially when it's warm. but I'm here promoting my new book, The 20-Minute Body, new program that I just launched as a book and on DVD. Really psyched. I'm here. I just did a Good Day New York, and I'm going to be doing the Today Show.
Wow, that is awesome. So are you from the East Coast?
I'm from Princeton, New Jersey.
Okay. Yes, you lost the accent a little bit. Sounds like. Right on. Yeah, I was telling you before we started that I got an email from Glow Motion, which is kind of a mama's group. I do a lot of fertility work, and they said you were putting on a live class, and I think it was called Yoga Brazil. Is that right?
Yeah, so I train in a Brazilian martial art called Capoeira, and I've been integrating that with all my workouts for a long time. That's one of the sort of stamps and spices that's in the 20-Minute Body program is we do a little capoeira in it.
Nice.
But I've been working on a new format, one that's going to combine capoeira and yoga together on the mat. And actually, Latham, who is the founder of Mama Glow, really helped spearhead this with me when I was first doing the classes when in New York City when I lived here. So it's kind of awesome to come full circle. She wanted to do an event with the class and then also do a book signing. And so tonight's going to be really fun.
Oh, that is so cool. They get that history. And if people don't know, and you can fill in some blanks, Latham's a health coach, right? Is that right?
Yep. She's a holistic health coach. She's been to the Integrative Institute for Nutrition. She's a doula. She's got an incredible background, yoga teacher, prenatal teacher, personal trainer. She's got a litany of certifications and credentials.
Okay, cool.
Most of all, she's just a super cool, down-to-earth, you know, woman that everybody, she's like a connector. She's just got great energy. And I'm so proud of her because I remember when her idea of doing this was when and she's also a chef. So she did personal chefing for a lot of people. And I remember she was doing that for certain celebrities. We were sort of collaborating on training and chefing. And she's like, you know, I'm going to start going into more prenatal stuff. And then the idea of this group came out, and it's now just a full-fledged entity, which is just amazing to see.
That's cool because, yeah, you see these organizations, and you're like, wow, you know, where did that come from? But things do evolve. So, yeah, right on. Yeah, and I want to ask a little bit more about the capoeira. I've never done it, but my idea of it that I'm guessing you're kind of bringing in is it has a little bit more like kind of, I don't know, I think of more of like a circular motion, like more diverse motion. Would you say?
Yes. It's a fusion of martial arts and dance. It was actually created by the slaves in Brazil and disguised as a dance. So it is a martial art, and it has a lot of curvilinear motions to it. It's not just very linear like a lot of other martial arts are. And it's great. It's fun. It's fluid. It's body weight. It's done to music. And I've actually found integrating this with dance music has been great. You know, most dance tracks and DJs that are using like house music, it's at about 130 beats per minute, which is really perfect. So the classes that I've been able to do, everybody has a lot of fun because I get to use all these dance tracks that everybody knows.
And they're like, oh, I'm having fun and I just got a huge workout. Cool. And so your program, this 20-Minute Body, is now a book. It's also some DVDs.
Right.
Is there music and kind of a dancey feel on that as well?
Yeah, okay. Particularly in the DVDs, we have the soundtracks all to every workout. Some are to the beat, some aren't. Most of them are.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'm actually working with a company to actually come up with some licensed playlists for people because I've been asked a lot about that. But I am very big on integrating music with, I always say movement, music, and mantra. If you have the right movement to the right music, and you deliver the right message, it takes a workout from a normal workout to what I call sweating with soul. It really taps into something different, and it makes it really a unique experience. That's why I'm really stoked about the event tonight, because we're going to have a great playlist, everybody moving. We're going to deliver a really strong message about capoeira and working with Latham and just keeping at it, you know, keeping at the hustle and being passionate about what you do. Passion is priceless, and you can really turn your dreams will come true if you stick at it. And I've seen that firsthand with her.
Wow, that's really great. You know, I was going to ask you too. I bought a workout, I don't know, group. I'm sure it was their great workouts. I think it was called a Underground Workout, and it was like a series of videos. I think I did one of them, right? Like, I didn't do them. And I was like, oh, you know, I should, I was like checking out your site, and I was like, oh, I should get this 20-minute body, 20 minutes. Like, I got no excuse. Like, that sounds great. But then I was like, oh, am I going to do it? But I, when you say sweating with soul and it's more of like a fun, you know, track, I'm like, okay, well, I could always use 20 minutes in my work at home day to like have some fun, you know? So maybe that's another thing that sets it apart, would you say?
Yeah. And there are people that I'm like, if, hey, if you want to, after you've done the workouts a few times, you can turn down the volume on the actual videos and just put your own playlist in. You know, I have friends that do that. They actually will put their own earphones on and they've done the workouts. Sometimes they'll cycle back and do another one and they're just jamming out to their own tunes, but they just want to follow the workout. And I'm like, yeah, you know, do what you got to do. I think also the music helps, but I think it's important that you, the trainer and the person that you're working out with, and even the cast behind them, you vibe with them. That you know what I mean. That you're motivated by them, and that's important too.
That's a good point. So once you learn the moves, you could just put on your own favorite music too, and that's a concept I like from another New Yorker. My friend Janine Francolini, she's another New Yorker, she's always talking, she did the Mama Gina course. I don't know if she's associated with them, but they always do like these dance breaks. And I think it's really important because like when you get in your work groove, like you just like, ugh, you know, I got to move, I got to get out of my head. So right on, get a little 20-minute workout. So I get a clue about the answer to this next question, but I want to ask you. So first of all, how'd you get into this industry? And then how'd you kind of stick with it to get to where you are? Because there's a lot of trainers out there, you know, who are just getting started. And now you're going to be on the Today Show and you've got all this awesome stuff going on. So, yeah, what got you going and what kept you going?
That's a great question. I will be totally honest. Like, I got into this industry not really for a want. I got into it for a need. I was a pre-med. And I moved from Los Angeles where I was doing my undergrad, and I graduated, and I came back doing more post back laureate work, applying to med school, doing research, and I was like a broke lab tech working in New York City. I couldn't afford a gym membership, but I had been doing a lot of martial arts, and I was boxing at the time, and I kept going into the gym, and my buddy was like, why don't you just apply to be the assistant boxing instructor? Or actually, he suggested the instructor, and I was like, no way, I don't feel qualified. But they had an assistant. So, you know, I thought to myself, all right, maybe I'll give that a shot. I didn't really feel qualified, but if I could be the sidekick or the you know, assistant. So I applied, and I remember showing up for the interview, and I was like in my jeans and ready to go, my clipboard and whatever. And the guy's like, 20 extra people showed up. I need you to actually teach with me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm like, I thought I was here for an interview. Well, you know, sometimes you sink or swim, and these are things that you can't read in a textbook. You just got to perform. And at that point, I had done enough mitt work and had worked with people that I felt, I was like, all right, I'll just do what I normally do. Got in line, I taught, and luckily I swam that day, didn't sink, and I got hired, and he said, you did great. He didn't even need to look at my resume because he was like, qualifications on paper are not anything for what's happening here with the students. So I got into the fitness industry that day as assistant boxing instructor. And then he gave my own class and started teaching kickboxing, then decided to come up with my own trademark program called Urban Motion. But it started with me not wanting to do this, like not seeking out. I just was like, I need to find this. So I taught part-time. And during the day, I was lab teching, but I came to a crossroads, you know, a year and a half after that, where I was like, man, I'm just not happy. I don't go to bed or wake up thinking about this research that I was doing in the medical industry. And I sat down with my dad and had a real heart to heart. And he was a professor at Princeton that could have done a lot of other higher paying jobs, but he always stayed as a professor because his answer was always, I love my students and I love my research. And if I worked for a private drug company and made more money, I wouldn't have those things in my life. I would have to do what basically they dictated. And that's wouldn't make me happy. So he said, find something that you love to do. It'll never feel like work and the money will come, or it won't matter to you. And I knew right then it was like fitness. It's always been a part of my life. It's what I've done. My mom said I could walk, throw a ball before I could walk or talk. Mm. It's what I turned back to when I gained 50 pounds as an overweight teenager. So it popped up. Like if my dad's telling me find something that's always been with me or something I love, fitness. And luckily I've been able to make a career out of it. But most importantly, you know, passion is priceless. If you find something that you love to do, you can, you know, make it really become a career and a dream.
That is such a great story. I love it. How long ago was that you first got that boxing job?
Wow, that was almost 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
Right out of school. It was a long time.
Right out of school. So yeah. You're not just a gorgeous, buff workout guy. You could have been a doctor. That's pretty awesome.
It was a lot of – it was so much studying. I remember being – teaching in the fitness industry, and this was a group fitness instructor, not a personal trainer. And the difference really is, you know, group fitness, you're sort of a glorified cheerleader. And I was like, what am I going to do with all the science information that I had? Like 7 years of a lot of studying. And it wasn't until I became a personal trainer, which I didn't want to do because all the personal trainers that I knew that I would see at the gyms were just kind of like these, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're like meatheads just counting reps. And I was like, I guess I was at the wrong gyms, to be honest. But I met some trainers that were doing some really high level stuff. And I was like, wow, this is different. It's biomechanics, it's anatomy, it's physiology. And once I did that and got my personal training exam and realized, wow, here's all the science that I had been studying, I was very relieved. And I got to integrate a huge past of studying as a physician that I thought I was never going to use again. So that was another big thing that helped me stick with the career and make it really more valuable to me as a person, because I enjoyed the sciences and found, you know, a career that was able to absorb all that information that I had been studying.
Yeah, that's probably really satisfying to realize, okay, like all that time wasn't lost. I can integrate that. And that's kind of always true. We can always integrate our different talents. So right on. So speaking of sticking with it, we're going to talk about how our audience can stick with working out, which is, a big challenge. And what would you say is like the number one kind of problem or excuse you hear about people hitting their workout goals?
Definitely the number one reason or excuse that I get from people for not working out and or cooking for themselves is they don't have enough time. And I can relate. I mean, I travel a lot. It's not easy for me to get all my workouts in, you know, going to the airport a lot, or you're in hotels or new places. It's a challenge. So, but you got to do what you got to do, or else you're not going to get the results that you want. And that's just, you know, that's something that I think being an overweight kid and having that a part of my life, that was something that really motivates me. I've found my why, or something that really I can emotionally connect with that helps drive me, and I remind myself of that. But for sure, the number one reason people don't work out or cook for themselves, they don't have enough time. We live in a very instant gratification, busy, busy world. So, you know, that was a huge thing. Even when I was on Biggest Loser, where we had a lot of time on our hands, we were secluded on a ranch, I was really working on shorter workouts, because there's a science, real science and research behind higher intensity interval training that if you do it at the right intensity for a shorter amount of time, you get this huge bang for your buck where you elevate your metabolism and you burn calories after you work out, which you don't normally do in these aerobic, lower intensity, fat burning zone workouts. So I was studying a lot of that and studying under some training coaches that were doing a lot of the research. And even I was starting to CrossFit at that time and do some stuff. Some of the best CrossFit workouts are under 15 minutes. They're 10 minutes. So you have to just put the intensity in. But that was going – it was very contraindicated for what most people thought. You know, they're like, wait, I got to – don't I have to run for hours and work out for hours? And that's why I don't do it. So it was really interesting bringing that on to the Biggest Loser, which a lot of the other trainers weren't doing that. They were doing totally different style workouts. Got very, very, very good results. And then was able to do it. I was already doing it on myself. Did another show on Food Network, and I had one of the chefs on that show drop over 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
With these style workouts. And he ended up, I asked him to start doing meals that were short, because I was one of the issues that I was having was I could get people to train and start to lose weight with the short workouts, but you cannot train a bad diet. If they're not working on their nutrition basically at the same time, they're not handling that. The problem is then people don't, they plateau, or they're gaining weight because they're not eating correctly. And the same thing, same reason, they're not cooking for themselves or shopping for food. I don't have enough time. So I asked the chef, this guy, Rocco Raylan, celebrity chef in Ohio, can you make these, start making these really kick butt meals that are going to take 30 minutes, 20, 25, something in that range. But I need you as a chef to make the flavor profile, and don't make it trainer food, make it like chef food. So he went in there and made these amazing, amazing recipes. And that was really the foundation for the book and the program of the 20-Minute Body. And it really helped solve this issue for a lot of my clients that were like, don't have enough time. I'm like, do you have 20 minutes? I know you got 20 minutes.
Wow. So the food aspect, is that included in the book and the DVDs, or only the, tell me more.
Yeah. The DVDs are much more workout intensive, and they have 20 recipes for the 20-Minute Body.
Okay.
That comes out to about a week, a little over a week of recipes. The book, the one thing I really wanted to dive much deeper in on the book, we still have great workouts in there, pictures and everything to it. And we even have online bonus video workouts if you get the book online. But I really wanted to go heavier into nutrition and my philosophy, the mindset. There's really three components: the workouts, the recipes, and the mindset. So there's over 100 recipes in the book. Okay. And I dove much deeper into the ideology of it, which was, you know, there, people come in at different fitness levels, so it's easy to show workout variations, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced for the workouts. But what about nutrition? What about, I was running into a lot of particularly moms that were coming in, and my sister was one of them, two kids, and she's been eating pretty clean for a long time. She lives in Washington State. She goes to the co-op and gets all this organic food. But then I was dealing with a lot of other moms that were like, I don't even know what quinoa or kale is. And they're eating fast food. So you can't give a cookie cutter program for them. It doesn't work. People fall off the wagon. Or you, now they're having to go to another grocery store that they've never been to or find this food. So when I asked all these women particularly, I really want to know, what are the biggest problems that you're facing? And they were like, this is, if you want to know the real deal, make it easier to cook, shorter amount of time, some shortcuts on cooking techniques. Instead of introducing 30 new foods, this is what I cook for my family regularly that they love. Can you make it faster, healthier, and tastier? That's coming straight from the community. So I went back, and that's what we did. And we made the recipes three levels, just like the workouts. So you have the same base recipe. Let's say you take the turkey taco. Level one, you've got the taco shell. We have a cleaner taco shell, low sodium tomato paste, and lower fat turkey meat, whole nine yards, and low fat cheese. Then you can go to the more advanced level, no dairy, no gluten, no shell. It's a lettuce wrap, 99% turkey, fat-free turkey, and it's a much leaner, cleaner meal, and the person can progress through it. So that's what I really dove into, really outlining this much more inclusive, comprehensive nutrition program, over 100 recipes, recipe variations in the book, and also the mindset.
Okay. Yeah, I can tell that this is really like a compilation of your work and observation, because I go through some of these same things with my clients. You know, I'm not a fitness trainer, but I'm definitely in nutrition and healthcare. And yeah, you can't start the same place with everybody. You know, you just can't. Like, some people are already eating pretty well, but they're still kind of a sugar addict. And some people, yeah, are mostly always just microwaving frozen food. So that's a big change for them, just to buy fresh food. So that's really awesome. And I love the 20-minute thing too. You know, I give the argument, you know, I'm a mom and I have two businesses and I eat well, you know, and I just like, I got some salmon defrosting, I got the oven started, I chop up some sweet potatoes and broccoli, like I get dinner done quick and it's healthy, you know, but it took me a while, I guess, to get there. And I love that you're teaching people like how to get there step by step. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be honest. I'm still not a ninja in the kitchen and I needed a lot of coaching too. And it was amazing going to these chefs, because I wanted to go to the right experts. I really did. And both of them have a good nutrition background, but it was, they're the ones that are in the kitchen that know how to do these real shortcuts. So another celebrity chef, Jennifer Isolo, she's known as the Skinny Chef. She was amazing. This is one of my favorite things in the book. She organized the grocery lists. So there's grocery lists by how the supermarket is laid out. Cause I was like, I'm a Virgo. I'm like, of course, let's do this alphabetically and organize it like this. And she's like, no, no, no. Because when you're in the grocery aisle, it's not alphabetical. So she's like, here's the dry goods. Here are the canned goods. I was like, I love this, because when I was shopping for all the I was starting to cook the recipes. I'm like, yeah, you know, you write these things down arbitrarily and then you're like running around like a crazy person. And it takes forever just to go grocery shop. And it's like, I don't even have time to cook now because that took over an hour. And it's like super demotivating. So a shortcut like that was a game changer. She also, you know, a big thing was finance for people, you know, economics of let's make sure that these meals are economical. We're not asking people to go out and spend a lot of money on things. She had these, we worked on 20 kitchen essentials within your budget. So, and it's like crazy. If you have a microplaner and these things that make a big difference to not only save you time, but then make the meal taste better. It was crazy to see just getting a few appliances and things that I needed, how much faster I could make the meals. And that was just another big game changer. So I have to give my kudos to both Rocco and Jennifer for doing an amazing job on that, you know. And I think another really valuable thing that people out there overlook or don't take into consideration really is the mindset piece, which I think is the number one thing. My company, our slogan is fitness from within. This is coming from me being an overweight teenager and losing all the weight and realizing the physicality of fitness, the inches, the pounds, the sweat, the weights, the reps, that's very, it's like the shell of an oyster. It's very accessible, understandable, and tangible. But the golden, you know, the pearl inside, that is truly what fitness can do for your life. It can change your life. It can save your life. And it will affect every aspect of your life if you commit to it. And I really learned that firsthand when I lost the weight and saw what it really did for me emotionally. And that's what led me to this career. I guarantee it. This is absolutely why I'm in this career and changed. But it can become very theoretical talking about the mindfulness of training. And one thing that I wanted to do, really, I don't like just talk. Talk is cheap to me, and actions pay the bills. So things that are actionable, workouts, hey man, they're actionable, right? Recipes, I'm sure you know, it's like, yeah, those are actionable. But this kind of mindfulness stuff, how do you make that actionable? And that was a big thing that I wanted to put in the book as well, is mindset exercises that somebody can do. So I asked people to do 20 minutes a week, and there's everything from photo journaling, if they want to do it, of their food, to regular journaling. You could be writing down and keeping track of your workouts. You can use apps. I mean, there's a whole litany of resources of what you can do, and even what you can do on your social media to sort of put this out there. And it's about keeping it in your mind, you know, because out of sight, out of mind. And if you want to do this day in and day out and really for the long haul, you do have to reprogram the way you think. And it's like working out. At first, it's a little bit difficult. Oh, I got to journal. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, and you're not used to doing it, but it becomes like brushing your teeth. It's like meditation will become like that. It's just something that you can do for a few minutes, a couple of minutes at the beginning of the day. If you want to write down your most important tasks beyond fitness, whatever it is. But that mindfulness, I really believe, is a huge key to success that people overlook. And I really wanted to give people actionable items that they could do.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's kind of what's the goal, and then how can we make it easier to get there, whether it's just writing down a reminder every day, putting like my clients say, "Oh, I can't remember to take my supplements." Well, just put a list right on your fridge that you have to see, or put it next to your toothbrush, or like sometimes it's just those little tips like, "Yeah, you can do this. You can take your supplements. You can do your workout. Here's a little help to get to it." And yeah, everybody's so busy, circling back to that time excuse, you know. People are spending a lot of time at work, in the car, you know, this and that. But you and I, you know, we've got busy schedules and we're making it happen. I'm sure you've seen a lot of your clients transform from celebrities to non-celebrities to the Biggest Loser, make those changes. So yeah, it can be done. The book again, is it 20 Minute Body, the book?
Yeah, the 20-minute body.
The 20
You
Minute
can
Body.
it's on Amazon. You can get it in Barnes and Noble if you want to go to a bookstore, or if you have questions about or want more information, you can just go to 20minutebody.com, 20minutebody.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
But
love
it
it. I love the concept. Really awesome. Yeah, you want to tell us anything more about what people will find in the
I
book?
look I just love to give some tips to people out there.
Yeah.
You know, some great tips that you can do are, here's some things when it comes, one of the most important things when you're trying to do your workouts are, well, is setting goals. If you're going to start a new fitness program, a lot of people don't set goals, or the goals that they set, they're not actionable. So one tip that I'd like to give you guys out there, here's an example of a difference between an actionable goal and a results-oriented goal and the difference between them. So if you're going to set a goal, make it action-oriented. So an example is, I'm going to do my workouts every day this week before 8 a.m. That is within your control and is an actionable thing that you can do. A results-oriented goal that is not within your control would be like, I'm going to lose, 10 pounds within the next 2 months, no matter what. And that, a lot of that, the amount of weight that you're going to lose, it may seem in your control, but it's like it's not as actionable and in your control as getting to a workout on time, getting a gym membership, finding a buddy or a friend to go to a class with. Those things are a lot more actionable than just saying you're going to lose this many inches or this many pounds. So be specific with your goals and make sure they're in your control and they're actionable. And the other thing,
Okay.
yeah, sorry,
Yeah,
you
I
know what I
just
mean?
listen. Yeah, so you're kind of, I love it. You're not necessarily even focusing on the result there, so to speak. You're sp or focusing on dedicating to the process, and specifically like when or how are you going to do that action or process. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think doing this, if you want to set a benchmark to say, like I do like people saying, committing to wanting to lose a certain amount of weight or something else, if it's within reason, or changing a body part, if that really speaks to them, they should do it and within a time frame and be specific, like X amount of pounds in X amount of weeks or this specific body part and change it this way. But leave that at the top. But then when you want to create very specific sub goals to reach it, they have got to be these action oriented ones. So it's okay if you want to have that out there, but that's not a clear roadmap saying, okay, to get there, I'm going to first of all, get to my workouts at eight, before 8 a.m. every day this week. And I'm going to, on the weekends, I'm going to find a buddy from work, a coworker that I know expressed interest in doing this. And number three, I'm going to put this on my Facebook page to make me more accountable. Those are action oriented. Those are in your control, and those will get you to that bigger, benchmark.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm gonna just tell a story that I work with a lot of fertility, and it's a big goal. I've never helped someone lose 100 pounds, but it's a big goal, right? I would
Very
imagine.
big goal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And getting pregnant is a big goal, especially if your health isn't where you want it to be. And you know, I got a little, and this is showing you some of your expertise from doing this so long. Like, I was getting a little frustrated with people would have this big goal, So it didn't happen again this month. And then they'll get frustrated with the little actions. So I'm trying to kind of transform and almost step back to be talk more about women's health. And then, what are some sub goals? What are some actionable goals? Like, are you cooking for yourself? Let's say this week you cook dinner for yourself every week. That's a smaller goal that is going to get you to your bigger goal. So I love that concept. And I didn't want to cut you off. If you can give as many tips as you want. So one is having actionable goals. Give us a few more.
I think you got to get social. I always say this, the dumbbell and the diet don't get you in shape. It's your accountability to your word that does, period. So most people are more accountable to others or something bigger than themselves. So if you can take it from the I to the we, and it's more just about you or the skinny jeans or the six pack, which is fine if you want that, but there's a deeper underlying, I would say, emotional reason you want those, you connect to that, that is golden. Or if you make it more just about you. So an example, like I said, more people are accountable to others. So make it public. Now, the one reason a lot of people won't say, for instance, hey, I'm going on this 20-day program and I'm committing to it and I'm just putting it out there to everybody is because they're going to feel they're going to be judged or that they're going to fail and they're going to be judged. But at some point, you got to put the rubber to the road, man. You got to put your money where your mouth is and you got to step up and do it. And 99% of the time, when people do this and they go out there to their community or friends or coworkers, they say they're committing to this. Do you know what ends up happening? They don't get judged. Somebody says, hey, you know what? When are you going to start that? I wouldn't mind doing that with you. 9 times out of 10, you're going to start motivating other people and then it comes back tenfold because as other people start commenting about it or encouraging you, you're going to feel more accountable. So go out there and make whatever it is you want. Maybe the first step for you is making it public to yourself, putting that post-it note on your refrigerator or on your desk at work. But if you can get it from that I to the we, make it public to your coworkers and other people, let your community respond to that. I'm telling you, you're going to inspire other people and you're going to have more people working with you and it's going to be a lot easier.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I find that true too. I like to do group programs sometimes just because.
Oh yeah.
To be honest, you do less whining in a group. You're not like, oh, it's so hard. You're just like, instead you come in the group and you ask for help in getting to your goal instead of just saying, oh, it's too hard. So that's awesome.
Yeah, you see other people asking for help and then you want to ask for help, or you see other people getting results and you're like, wow, and you saw the hard work that they put in, so you're willing to do it. I think there is definitely a magic that happens in a group setting. And that another thing is if you, one thing that I found that we have definitely implemented, it's this magic in the group. So for people that have gone through the 20-minute body, we actually have a private group for people that have purchased one of the programs. We also have a public page and you see all these people from around the world and the country communicating to each other and motivating each other. And there's a magic there. So, if you guys are starting a fitness program, want to see if you can even get in a social media group at some point, whatever it is, I'm sure you can find a group of people, like-minded people doing it. And it's so motivating, and one tip is if you want to find inspiration, go out and inspire somebody else and watch it come back tenfold. So if you sit in this group and are just waiting for people to motivate you, why don't you start clicking like and commenting on somebody else's stuff first and see what happens in return?
Okay. Is there a Facebook group or something where people can go now to see some people who have already done your program and talking about it a little bit?
Yeah, there's it's 20-minute body, 20-minute body on Facebook.
They can okay. That. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I'll go check that out. Sure. I know you had a thing about inches instead of scale. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, what I found when I'm training a lot of people is that, particularly women, the weight will start to plateau even though the inches are going down. And the science behind that is when you're training the right way, you're going to put on some lean muscle a little bit. And you got to understand three things about muscle. Number one, the only tissue in the body that burns fat is muscle. So yes, you need some muscle. Now, I'm not saying you got to get jacked up And yes, some women, if you're doing the wrong kind of training or too often, can get a big build that I don't think a lot of people want. But it's not that easy. You know, I think everybody thinks they're going to pick up weights and instantly grow. It's not that easy. So muscle tissue burns fat. Muscle tissue also takes the most calories to keep it active. So you're actually burning fat to keep your muscle tissue active. So having some lean muscle on you is important. It burns calories and it takes calories to keep active. And the third part, as you're working out, that muscle tissue becomes optimized, the way that it can deal with lactic acid, the neuromuscular junction with the nerves innervating the muscle, a lot of things where when you're working out, you get what I call if you're sitting on the couch, you got lazy muscle. And if you've been working out, you get this optimized muscle or metabolic muscle. And metabolic muscle can burn through fat a lot easier. So when you're training, and if you're doing something that is going to help build up your muscle tissue a little bit, don't shy away from it. So if the scale stops to move, a lot of times I saw this on women, they're getting good lean muscle, but their inches were dropping. And that's why I like using that, because if you only weigh on the scale, the only thing you're going to measure is weight. So you don't know if you're losing muscle tissue, you're losing fat, water weight, you have no idea. And if it stalls, you could be losing inches, which is going to be fat. And if you don't do that, you get discouraged. So okay. I would suggest learning how to do some basic measurements and chart that. If you want to hop on the scale at the same time, go ahead, but integrate the inches, because you will see some great rewards in doing that, even if your weight plateaus.
Yeah, the scale can be a real mind screw, as I'm sure you've seen with people. Okay. And then, yeah, as you said, it's about kind of the muscle more than focus on gaining muscle in a sense, lean muscle rather than losing fat, and the fat will just sort of come off. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, the main thing is this, if fat loss and losing fat is the only thing in the person's mind, most clients that I've seen then end up taking shortcuts. They're like cutting a lot of fat out of the diet, and they're going on these crazy fad diets and workouts and stuff because they get caught in this, I've got to lose fat, which I understand everybody wants to do. But then when it comes to building muscle, they're like, oh, absolutely not. I'd never want to do that. Or I've got to stay in the fat burning zone because that's what the literature says. And it's not the case anymore. That old literature at the fat burning zone was some actual studies that were not done completely. They didn't measure the fat burning and caloric burn after the workout. And you want to know why? Or they may have, but there wasn't any, because the low intensity aerobic workouts don't burn calories after you work out. The high intensity interval workouts do. And you're not in your fat burning zone when you're doing the high intensity interval workouts. You're in a sugar burning zone of anaerobic. So without to get into the whole science, my point is that fat burning mentality, then you want to stay in the fat burning zone, which we know is not the case anymore. And then you don't want to burn muscle, build muscle, which is a problem for a lot of people that actually do need to build muscle. The difference between building muscle, lean muscle, and getting jacked is a big difference. You know, it's a huge difference. And there's a difference between building muscle and actually gaining weight. I'm not expecting someone that's doing this type of program and eating right to gain weight, but I would expect their weight loss to slow down and maybe even plateau. That I would expect. So there's a big difference in all of that. And I think that psychology plays a lot if you're just thinking fat loss instead of actually some muscle gain.
Okay. It sounds like you're just kind of buying into an older model that doesn't really work, has been proven not to work. And same with nutrition too. You know, people are still stuck in the low fat thing, even though really we're more and more movement to discredit that. I'll tell you a funny story. I go to a real old school gym. It's like everyone there is like a senior citizen, which is adorable. And they're great, and they're there, which is great. But a lot of people are just, you know, on the little bikes, right? Like, or the treadmill, and they're on there for a long time. And you look at their body type, it's not that healthy, you know? And I'm not really I don't really do machines. I do hand weights and a little floor workout and stuff like that. And I see it, basically what you're saying. It's like going in and doing 40 minutes of cardio, it isn't really changing their bodies. I'm glad they're there and moving. And some of it, I think, is people don't know how to do hand weights or to how to do floor exercises. And so I think that's cool. It's probably a lot of what you're teaching. I know the workout you teach has no equipment. Is that right?
It can be done with no equipment, but we also have dumbbells and bands as an option.
Okay, perfect.
You know, your body weight is resistance, but I definitely also believe in using some forms of resistance like tubing or weights.
Okay.
So that you can amp the exercise up a little bit if you need to. But yeah, I think a lot of people shy away from strength training, which is a real problem. And if you want to change your body, there is absolutely the fastest way is by doing some type of strength training in combination with interval training. And most people that come in that I see, again, primarily women, are not doing enough strength training, and they're doing a lot of aerobic training and not interval training.
Yeah.
And as soon as we put those combinations together with the nutrition, their body changes like first week.
Right on. Yeah. So if you're listening or watching and you're like, yeah, that's me, you know, I'm going to the gym, I'm on the bike, nothing's happening, get the videos, get the book, and yeah, do the nutrition part and the inner work part, sweating with soul. I love it. Right on, Brett. So we're going to share some of the links, in the text and the show notes. But anything you want to say the links again or anywhere else somebody should go for resources?
Sure. If you want to get the book, Amazon.com, or you can go into Barnes & Noble. If you have questions, everything is at 20minutebody.com, 20minutebody.com. And I'd love to hear questions and interact with everybody on my social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And it's just my name, Brett, B-R-E-T-T. Hobel, H-O-E-B-E-L.
Okay, I'm saying your name wrong. Hobel, I got it.
It's all good.
Thanks so much, Brett. Good luck with the book, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Bridget. I appreciate it.
Thanks to everybody listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.